You're listening to a special presentation featuring John Jacob Schmidt, brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Readout.
Good afternoon. Time for the 4 o'clock presentation. This afternoon, we have John Jacob Schmidt presenting strategic communications for the Prepared Patriot. John Jacob is the voice behind the microphone at Radio Free Readout, a weekly podcast dedicated to promoting the American readout and helping conservative Americans prepare for the coming events and rebuilding afterwards. He's a Desert Storm veteran and a communication specialist who served with the Army Special Forces. John developed the American Readout Radio Operations Network, or AMRON, and its standardized communication plan to link hams and non-hams with like-minded preppers, patriots, and readouters across communities, counties, and states across the American readout. AMRON has since gone continental with members in every state and Canada. So please give a warm welcome to Mr. John Jacob Schmidt.
Thank you, everyone. Could we get the screen on for the presentation? That'd be great. Thank you, guys. How you guys doing? You enjoying this weekend? Is this a great expo or what? There are a lot of great vendors and there's a lot of great training going on this weekend. So thank you for being here. Thank you for supporting things like this and investing in yourselves, your families, your community, and the rebuilding effort that is to come. Well, he already covered who I am. A lot of you guys already do know who I am, but you're going to learn a little bit more about that as we go. This, as you know, is a communications presentation, but it's going to be kind of a little bit of a twist. First of all, there's two things here. While we are waiting for the collapse and we're preparing to communicate in a grid down situation where there are no communications available, we are facing a very real and imminent threat, and that's the advancement of tyranny and the loss of our liberties in our country. So something that I've really started gravitating toward in the last 6 months is communications for the Patriot in a grid up situation, which is a necessity for where we are. Because while the collapse that we're waiting for never happens, there's something much more devastating than an earthquake that's happening to our culture and to our country. And so I want you guys to be able to operate in that environment. So when it comes to patriots, prepper, preparedness-minded, self-reliant citizens, we need to be able to operate regardless of whether or not the grid is up or down. So the first half, I'm going to talk about grid down, because that's what we like to talk about, you know, the collapse, the zombie apocalypse, the whatever it is, situation that hurls us into a situation where all conventional communications and infrastructure are gone. So the first thing is your attention step. Do you guys remember the movie Lone Survivor? Okay, the Navy SEAL, Marcus Luttrell, is the last one that made it out of there alive in Afghanistan. Okay, so I want to show you a little clip here. It should play.
Dates, Marcus. Navy. It's a lot more than 10 guys. It's an army. This op is compromised.
This is Spartan 01, radio check.
Danny, you radio working?
This is Spartan 01, radio check.
Danny, you radio working?
The way I see it, we got two options. One, let them go, roll the dice.
Second that they run down there, we got 200 on our back.
In this situation, these guys were discovered by Afghans up on the hill while they're doing a reconnaissance patrol. They had located the target. Their mission got compromised, and they could not reach help. They tried everything they tried. Communications failed. As a result, every one of those guys, except one, were killed before they were extracted out of there. And in fact, in the extraction process, when they were trying to rescue them, there were many, many more who were killed in that process. Here's another situation. In this situation, they had their communications cut off. Here's a grid up situation. And they were unable to call for the sheriff in Grant County to try to intercede for them. It turns into a chase, roadblock. Those guys got shot up. Lavoy Finnecombe was shot and killed.
Okay, cool.
Okay, what's his number?
I'm looking just a minute.
You need to back down.
We don't have any service. We have no service here.
They're calling people. They did it because there's no service here.
Yeah, they got it.
They know it. There's no service here at all.
We should never have stopped. We should never have stopped.
I don't care how you feel about whether they should have done that and shouldn't have ran or all that kind of stuff. Political, all the politics out the window. Bottom line is, when people in certain situations don't have communications, people die. Here's another situation. Radio communications non-existent in smoke-filled metro tunnel. Here we are in urban America, and this train has a malfunction, and their radios were malfunctioning. They couldn't coordinate the rescue efforts, and people died and were injured in that one as well. The bottom line is, if you don't have communications, people can die in certain situations. It's very important. Conversely, if you do have communications when others don't, it can save lives. And there's multiple examples here from Haiti, Joplin, Missouri, Hurricane Katrina, where people were able to coordinate rescue efforts, call for medical help, medical evacuation, call for security forces. When one case, Hurricane Katrina, they were locked down in a hospital and there was a mob trying to break in, literally trying to break into the hospital. And they were able to get a hold of a ham operator there at the hospital, was able to call to a 911 FEMA, a 911 center in, I don't know, it's like Tennessee or Kentucky, who was able to relay over radio the police that was just a few blocks away from that hospital. They had no idea this mob was trying to break down the doors and get into this hospital, so they were able to, over ham radio, dispatch police to the hospital, which was just a few blocks away. So, needless to say, when you do have communications, it saves lives. Now, looking in a grid down situation, and first of all, I usually mention this right at the very beginning, don't take pictures. I don't do pictures. Don't take pictures of me and put them on the internet or anything like that. There's a reason for that. It's deliberate. It's on purpose. And it's a rule. So, and the security guys, and plus this is private property, so now that you know, it's an implied consent to hand over your cell phone to be destroyed if you take pictures of me, all right? So, survival blog. Here's a situation, and there's one real world situation after another where you can look, but here's one in particular. Person's firsthand account of going through this situation. You can't read this, but lack of communications causes panic and rumors. This is talking about Venezuela. As the communications are shut down, we are seeing that a sense of panic is growing. No one knows if other states have surrendered, and they are last to stand at the Alamo. They don't know if the government is losing either. This is why it's growing difficult to differentiate between rumors and fact. And in this situation, we're dealing with the government taking excessive control over the situation and the people. They are the ones who have, they are the only sources of news. So you're not getting unfiltered news the Patriots have, the citizens have communications among themselves, and you have unfiltered news, right? It's not controlled by the government. But they said calm leadership is needed to keep everyone from panicking or shutting down. It would have been wonderful if they had prepared with a radio network that was interstate rather than just within small cloistered groups. Those of you with ham equipment will be hailed as heroes should this situation come to a theater near you. That's a firsthand account of somebody, and what they're talking about there, it would have been great if they would have had interstate or regional communications as opposed to just clustered. You're talking about something that I'm going to get into in just a little bit, and that is the difference between, well, there's the different echelons of communications. You have tactical communications, you have operational, and then you have strategic. So we're going to talk about that and what that means to you. In the United States, there used to be a program called the Civil Defense Program. Some of you guys that are older, you remember, you see some of these signs hanging up in public places or a fallout shelter. It was all part of the Civil Defense Project. Well, they still have that, but it's kind of morphed into what's called continuity of government operations. So it's not so civil anymore. It has nothing really to do with the civilian population other than controlling them. Right now, in Germany, in England, in France, they are planning on civil unrest. They're planning on putting down the rebellions that they're causing through their immigration policies. They're doing the same thing in the United States. NORTHCOM's training and operations, and the military now is shifting toward, orienting their training toward civil unrest. It's about controlling the people, not rebuilding and joining together and banding together, although despite the fact that that's what most of their websites claim. But what they're training for and the doctrine that you're seeing them train up to isn't matching up with that warm and fuzzy side of the message. In fact, there is a training exercise coming up in June. June 7th through the 10th. Now, to save you the having to look at that on the calendar, that's a Tuesday through Friday. Tuesday through Friday, most people are at work or doing their lives and business. This is a government training operation. Most of the training on the inland side of from the coast is all oriented toward a massive refugee crisis of people fleeing the affected areas. It's about controlling and containment and food and medical and all that kind of stuff. Now, that's a very real concern because if Cascadia rising, the Cascadia subduction zone, big one, earthquake happens like the scientists are claiming, the government's even claiming and preparing for, that's going to be a major disaster, monumental. Okay, so these guys are training up for it, but they're not including the citizenry. This is all government training operations. And there's a hierarchy in their communications. They operate on the tactical level, the operational level, and the strategic level. But see, there's a food chain, and it starts with FEMA, the federal government, which is also part of the Homeland Security, which is the same department that in their indoctrination and their training is telling their people that people who prepare are hoarders and potential domestic homeland terror threats and returning homeland or returning veterans, homeschoolers, people that promote the traditional marriage. These are all potential right-wing extremist groups, right? And they're also getting away from, I'll talk about this in the next presentation, getting more away from terrorism, and the new vernacular is extremism that they're fighting, right?
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
Thank you for tuning in to the Voice of the American Readout for this special presentation. Join us every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Pacific for the weekly John Jacob Schmidt Show, covering news and issues that affect all liberty-loving, God-fearing patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zone, this is Radio Free Readout.
This is the United States government. First of all, you never have to default because you can always print more money. Folks, this is a direct quote from presidential candidate Donald Trump on Monday. It scares the crap out of me. And why do you ask? Because that is a man who will be leading our country in less than 6 months' time. And he is willing to collapse it all right as he walks down the stairs of his inauguration. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, and I'm bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. You know those mornings when you could barely move until you've had that first cup of coffee? Oh, I sure do. But you know what the worst is? Terrible, stale coffee. I hate stale coffee. That stuff in the can is the absolute worst. Now, it's part of our food storage, but imagine if you could change that. Imagine if every morning you get up and have fresh roasted beans. How wonderful that would be. You know what? You can do that. And you can do that by going to my sponsor's website, sisterscoffeeroasters.com. They provide great, and I mean great, coffee. Their green, unroasted, or roasted beans are perfect for your food storage needs. I do not want to imagine a future where I have to wake up every day and trudge through life with bad coffee. It may seem like a small thing in the grand scheme, but it'll be the little things that will help us put on our boots every day and get out there for our families. Go buy your coffee today and get it into your food storage right away. That's sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Two sisters and an amazing coffee. sisterscoffeeroasters.com. Welcome back. Can you believe that we are actually going to elect a man with this type of attitude towards the economy? It's unbelievable. I want to start off by reading you the full text of Donald Trump's quote on the CNN interview from Monday. And I warn you, it's a long one, so hopefully you don't lose it. But the impact of this statement should turn any of you listening away from him. Here it goes. I said, if we can buy back government debt as a discount, in other words, if the interest rates go up and we can buy bonds back as a discount, and if they are liquid enough as a country, we should do that. In other words, we can buy back debt as a discount. This is the United States government. First of all, you never have to default because you always print the money. I hate to tell you, so there's never a default. But the point is, it was reported in the New York Times incorrectly. In business, that happens all the time. I bought mortgages back when the market was bad. I bought mortgages at tremendous discounts, and I love doing it. I mean, there's nothing like it. Actually, it gives me a great thrill. But in the United States, with bonds, that won't happen. Because, you know, in theory, the market doesn't go down so that you have a default on debt. And that's just what happened. So here's the story, just to have it corrected. If we have an opportunity where interest rates go up, you can all buy back debt as discount. I always like to do that. If you can do that, that's what I was talking about. They have it, like I'm going to do back with the creditors, and I'm going to renegotiate restructured debt. It's ridiculous, and they know it's ridiculous. But they printed out all wrong purposely. Folks, not only is that comical to listen to, but dare I say this man, and I'm going to use that term loosely, just said he would default on national debt. This is an insane idea. Yes, we know we will never pay it back and it will consume us and eventually wipe out the economy of the United States as we know it. However, by saying this, Trump just told every major U.S. debt holder in the world that if he is elected, they can expect a phone call from him on day one telling him we will no longer be paying the bills and they need to write down our debt. He just gave the world a massive middle finger. That is political suicide and a death sentence for the economy from day one. If I were a world leader, I would right now be building my plan to immediately sell all debt I have the minute this man is sworn into office. As a world leader, I would do whatever I could to keep Clinton and make sure Clinton goes to office, a horrible thought, but the likelihood that Trump is going to be elected is very, very high. And to follow that, it is strongly probable that collapse will follow shortly after. Fellow patriots, I'm starting to feel like a broken record here, and I'm not going to rehash my warning on prepping. I say it all the time. But I am going to say this, and it's a warning tonight for this. If you're among the patriots who are listening to this show, and you're supporting Trump because, quote, he is different, consider this. He's declared bankruptcy multiple times, cheated on his wives and mistresses alike, has bullied many, many people, and those who have left his inner circle say he is a horrible person and they're afraid for their very lives. Is this the man you want to lead our country? Is this the man you want making financial decisions for the future of your family? Is this the man you want your sons and daughters to look to? Is this the man you want to lead during the time of severe crisis? How can you even justify voting for him? Because he's the lesser of two evils? That's like picking two different polished turds. Both of you look at it, you're still picking a piece of poop. Are you voting for him because he will, quote, make America great by any means, just because his solution will close the borders? Oh, don't worry, everyone. He'll have a solution, all right. A final one, just like Hitler. You have no idea the evil and tyranny that you are about to vote that will you invite to this land. You think your food and gas bills are high right now? Just wait. You think the adjustable rate mortgage you have on your double wide on 10 acres is low? Just wait. You think that stack of cash in your vault that I've been telling you to put in there will cover you when the banks are closed? Just wait. You think the stream running through your land will always be yours to do with what you want? Just wait. Folks, we only have a few more months before a time like we have never seen before comes to the America that we will someday tell our grandchildren about. Just look at Venezuela. Look at what's happening there. Collapse comes. Do you want people to try to eat your dog? Do you want to have to worry about toilet paper? That is exactly what is coming shortly. Get ready, get organized, and get your head out of your butt and stop voting with your heart. Vote with your thoughts. Be logical. Be realistic. Don't invite tyranny. Well, I know I've had some harsh words for you tonight. I still love all of you out in the readout. But thanks again for listening. For I Am the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this has been Fox 519's commentary. Signing off. God bless.
So it starts with FEMA, federal, then the states fall under the federal direction. And even down at the county, local level, those are increasingly coming under state FEMA or Department of Military or BHS, Bureau of Homeland Security, in the various different states. Right here in Benton County Emergency Management's mission is to minimize the impact of disasters on the people, property, economy, and environment of Benton County. By doing these things, we enhance the safety of Benton County residents. That seems more civil-oriented, doesn't it? It seems like they're looking out for the people. Well, see, the thing is, on the county level, they are. These are your neighbors. These are the people you work with and your kids play together with, right? These are you. This is you. But the people up above got a different plan. In fact, many times they will come into an area and say, this is emergency. FEMA just declared control over this, operational control, so step aside. Or help, and if you're not going to help, step aside. And by the way, we're taking control of your local communications. They now work for us. And who they keep informed is not necessarily the same kind of people that we would want to have informed. They operate on the tactical level. That means they're working with, hey, bring this truck a bottle of water over here to the high school. You know, this is local, very local communications. And then you have operational communications level echelon. And that's where you're actually coordinating with multiple different agencies. And this is bigger. This is not just, hey, move that truck out of the way. I need to get through there. Okay, we're getting outside of tactical operations or tactical communications and into operational communications. And then there's strategic. Strategic communications is when FEMA is working with the military and they are implementing policies that are driven down from the executive branch. And this is all strategic. And they're working with international governments and relief and aid and all kinds of other power plays come in to play when you're dealing with money and contracts and government aid and relief and things like this really start to affect that. And that strategic communications is going to be used to facilitate all of that stuff that really doesn't have our best interest at mind, at least not down at the ground level. But see, the problem is, in the Patriot community, we have tactical communications, and then it stops right there, which is something that we've been working hard to try to overcome so that we don't just have tactical communications. Hey, has anybody got an EMT over there or got somebody hurt here? Okay. We need to start working in operational level and strategic level, which is what the American Readout Radio Operators Network has started to expand into. Because the reason why we're talking about this, if you guys remember, during Hurricane Katrina, FEMA rolled in, they first contacted the mayor, who's anti-gun and liberal, left-leaning anyway, and said, we've got some random shootings, we've got looting, we should take all the guns. And the mayor says, yeah, let's do that. So he directs the chief of police, we need to take all the guns, get them off the streets. So they start going door to door, confiscating firearms from people, violating the Constitution, blatant violations of the law, completely unlawful, unarming, disarming peaceful citizens, and removing their ability to defend themselves, knowing full well there were roving bands of looters. They were doing whatever they wanted, but they didn't try to disarm them. They just went house to house disarming people. And The problem with that is there's only a select people that they coordinate with us on the strategic and operational level, leaving people that we care about that would intercede for us, people that would stand up and say, you're not going to take firearms from people. You're not going to kick their doors in. Those guys aren't even part of the conversation. The grassroots leaders, those proven conservative leaders that would look out for liberty, the pastors, clergy, anybody that would support our interests in liberty and freedom and sensibly responding to a disaster, they are not even included in this conversation. In fact, I'm going to tell you about a real-world deployment that we had last year and give you some examples about how we bypassed the system and we kept people that we care about informed, which kind of irritated some people. But these guys right here are who you want fighting for liberty for you, but they're not going to be contacted by the radio operators and communicators that are in place to support the government and government continuity operations, which is why we're here. Now, we're not trying to create an adversarial relationship. We want to work side by side with them. There's an organization called, it's called the ARRL, Amateur Radio Relay League. They have a group that responds to emergencies. They're called ARES, okay, Amateur Radio Emergency Service. And they work with RACES, which is a government program that uses civilian ham radio operators in response to a disaster. Okay, these are good people, and they want to help their communities, and they got ham licenses, and so they want to get involved. Well, that's great, except we have some people that do not have liberty at the top of their priority list, and their knee-jerk freedom-robbing solutions, they are using our own people to help coordinate that with. Sometimes. Sometimes they don't trust them and they make them sit out in the hallway while they bring in their own ham operators to implement these policies and decide who's going to get food, who's going to be obedient, who's going to be controlled, who needs to be relocated. And these discussions really happen and they coordinate this using ham radio operators. We want to offer an alternative outside of that system, not to be in conflict with them, but also to make sure that those leaders who would be advocating for liberty have the support and resources necessary to coordinate amongst themselves to offer alternative solutions than the ones that some of these people are planning now. What's happening here? Wow. We're configuring Windows now. Now, there's this guy that we all hate, if you're in the military, he goes by Murphy. Murphy shows up. You get some IT tech guys on this. Okay. So let me move ahead. Let me try to figure out how to proceed here. Because I really don't need notes to talk about this stuff. In fact, they actually can kind of get distracting. There are three things that you need to keep in mind when it comes to communications. For communications, there's a purpose for those communications. It's to inform others and stay informed. It is to pass information. And it is to help coordinate responses to a disaster situation. So, first of all, the intelligence process. That is, you guys, how many here took Sam Culper's course this morning? Okay, excellent. All right, if you have intelligence and can't move it, it's not useful. The communications and the intelligence process are joined at the hip. So you have to be able to get this intelligence to make sense of the threats that you're facing in your community and move that using communications operators. So we have a couple of different tools. We have situation reports that are pre-formatted, and the AMRON operators over there can help you with that to show you that, or you can go to AMRON.com. And We have pre-made forms there to help you report that vital and important intelligence to people higher up than you. You need to stay connected within your community and share information with your community, but you also need to be able to make sure that you're part of a system that is keeping the strategic communications going. And that is leadership, like Representative Matt Shea, who just spoke a little bit ago, like Pastor Sharam Hadian, like the sheriff of Grant County, and many, many others, these communities, so that you can keep these people informed so that they can advocate for you. It's not just so that you can see what's going on. So there is so much to this, and so what I want to do is I want to point, as I close down this grid down communications, there's some things that I want you to understand, that you guys have to have communications, or otherwise, like I told a friend of mine, I'll say this in every speech, if I can't reach you in a grid down disaster emergency situation, you just became somebody I used to know. Right? So I have to be able to reach out to you. Now, maybe we can't talk both ways, but you need to at least make informed decisions for your family. I can guarantee you the ham radio operators on the air, they have a corner on the market in a disaster situation. If you want to know what's going on, tune into the ham radio operators to find out what's going on, because they're committed to this, to helping their communities. They will deploy wherever they need to go to help their communities to coordinate a disaster response. First of all, I recommend that you guys have some means of receiving communications. There are two types of communications that are going to take place: long-range communications and short-range local communications. Let's address the long-range communications. Shortwave radio. Shortwave radio with single sideband capabilities is what's required for you to be able to hear ham radio operators talking from around the region and even across the country. If the lights went out right now and you didn't know why and you couldn't get information, you're going to get it from ham radio operators. And if you want to find out what's happening just locally here, that's one matter. If you want to get a bigger picture of what's happening in different parts of the country, or get a message to your sister-in-law or sister in Texas, you're going to have to use ham radio to do that. And these ham radio operators that have been over here volunteering, the Amron operators, bless their hearts, standing there to demonstrate and show how this works, so that you can communicate. That's long-range communications. Your short-range communications can be done with a scanner, a local scanner, so you can listen to local EMS, fire, police, and the other ham operators in the area that are running all over the place around here in response to a disaster. Now, more and more of these departments are going to encrypted communications because they don't want you to listen in on what they're talking about. Now, talking about government spin, the Moses Lake Police Department just announced that they're switching all of their communications over to encryption. And they said it's for officer safety, plus it's for your safety, because citizens could place themselves in danger if they hear about an emergency on a scanner and then go to that emergency site. So they're looking out for you by keeping you out of the loop. But the local scanners are going to help you receive communications. If you get nothing else, get the ability to receive communications. Shortwave radio for your long-range communications with single sideband, and then your scanners for your local communications. Now, let me tell you a story that happened last year, and there are several things that I needed to really specifically get into on this PowerPoint.
This is looking good at home, man. Out of control. This is looking good at out of control.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com. Segment 3, brought to you by Katie Armor. Come and take it. Body armor and plate carriers, front plates, back plates, and side plates. They also have the soft armor as well. Shipping is included on all their orders, and their current production lead time is about less than a week. So it's pretty fast turnaround. Great Patriot-owned business. Check them out. KatieArmor.com. Don't forget to use your coupon code, John Jacob.
Your communications, let me back up. I strongly recommend, I would mandate that in your group, you get a ham radio operator licensed in your group. Yes, that means you're going to have a license. And some people don't like the thought of that. I have to get a license from the government. I don't want the government telling me what frequencies I can operate on and what modes and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's like saying I don't want to get a driver's license because I don't want the government telling me what side of the road to drive on. It makes no sense. But it enhances your capabilities when you have a driver's license, doesn't it? You can freely operate and move. It makes life much more efficient for you. Well, the same thing goes with operating on the air. Now, you can buy your equipment and not have a license, and then in an emergency when the rules don't matter, then you can get on the air, right? How many people think that's a lie? Okay, we've got some ham operators in here. Any ham operator is going to tell you it's not going to happen. You have to practice with your gear now. You need to get somebody in your group licensed now, and then you need to upgrade that license from technician class to general class. We have all the resources to help you do this. But you will not communicate if you don't train, and you can't legally train unless you're licensed. Does that make sense? So let me give you a testimony about the operations that we've done in the past with Amron. Last year, there were some wildfires in Washington, some of you probably heard about. We get a call from, I put the word out. Guys, in case anybody's calling for emergency, you'll switch to the 40-meter frequency in our SOI and just monitor in case anybody's in trouble. And I'll put an email out to everyone in Washington State that if your power goes out, if you become trapped, if you are your town's cut off, whatever, we will be on 40 meters. And in 10 minutes, I had 5-6 operators on the air contact me, say, we're on the air, we're here, we're standing by. And I said, hallelujah, this is cool. It works. The network works. So now we're in standby mode. Well, about an hour later, I get an email from somebody in Conconole, Washington, saying, I just got your email and I have to let you know we are grid down here. He says, we're staying in a hotel in Tenasket or OMAC. Okay, he said, they let us through the checkpoint. Because I work with the mayor, I know the mayor, but they said we could come back in, but only one time. So we're staying at this motel. So I'm emailing you. There is no phone. There is no water. There is no internet. There is no cell phone. The town is completely black, and there are two fires that they're concerned about that are coming down on this town. So I told them we're on our way. So I put out the word. We got several Amron operators respond. Either they can deploy or they can't deploy, but they can support us regionally. So what happened is we got actually three operators deploy, and we loaded up. We packed up our comms gear, and we just headed that way. We didn't know where we were going, what we were doing, but we just knew people needed help. We could get on the ground and assess the situation from there. So we met this resident from Konkanoli, and we found out at this time there was at least two or three other towns that were evacuated. Konkanoli had been evacuated except for about 30 people. They were from the city administration, a few residents who chose to stay, and then some people working with the fires and the fire department and, you know, that firefighting effort. So there's 30 people left in this little town, and we rolled in. We were escorted in by this resident who brought us to the mayor and the fire chief. We said, we're with the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. We understand that you're completely grid down and you have no lifeline out of here. We have communications gear that we can set up so we can call for help. We can help coordinate relief efforts or whatever you need to do. We're at your service. And he said, you can set up right there. And he gave us the community center, this little Grange hall to ourselves. So we immediately started setting up. We started making contact with other people in other AMRON operators throughout the region who started feeding us weather reports. They started feeding us news that we weren't getting so we could inform the other people. We also have, in AMRON, we have what's called the Black Echo Rebroadcasting Program. And the Black Echo Project is basically pirate radio. We broadcast on AM or FM frequencies because everyone has an FM radio, right? So we started broadcasting this little radio station in this town to keep everybody informed of the progress of the fire. There was two fires now converging on this town from two different directions, blocking off the two exits or entrances to that town. So they had to keep an eye on it. There were several things that took place, and this was so cool. When we set up, can you bring me up to the Konkanoli slide? If you get a chance to, and thank you for doing that. It's AMRON core operator. You can always count on an AMRON core operator. Stuff's going to get done. Okay. When we told them we can get communications and put a sign out there, we said, contact your loved ones. So they said, well, how do you contact our loved ones? This guy comes over, he's from the parks, head of the parks department. He says, my daughter lives in Seattle. I haven't talked to her in like 4 days. She knows, she's watching this, afraid to death. Watching this, thank you, sir. Watching this unfold, and I can't let her know that I'm okay. I said, what's her email address? He goes, email? He said, we don't have any internet. I said, we can send her an email over the radio. So we connect to it. I sit down, type up your email. We have the software. He types up an email, hey, I love you, I'm okay, I'm safe, I'll call you when I can, blah, blah, blah. So he jumps out of the seat, we connect to what's called a node. We connect to this node over the radio and download his email, and she gets it in her inbox at work in Seattle. It's like, wow. So we started sending emails to their loved ones who were trapped in this little town who couldn't contact them. Another lady comes over from the city administration and says, we have a contract with the Forest Service, and if I don't get our firefighters' time cards in, they're not going to get paid until, like, the next pay cycle. And it's like, she says, and we have a deadline. I said, what's the deadline? She says, in an hour. I said, well, I said, type it up. So she types up all this information in an email, and I shot it off to the U.S. Forest Service, and they got their time card information in time, so it went through. She's like, thank you so much. In fact, there's just so many cool little stories that came from this. But later on, we were sending out situation reports from what was going on with the fire to let people know. On the ground, we could literally see the fires. You step out the front door, and you look down that street, and there's a forest fire. And you look down that street the other way, and there's another forest fire. It was a pretty spooky situation. It was very surreal. It was my first time being in that type of a wildfire type of a situation. And they said, be ready to evacuate at a moment's notice. And so after that event, there were several things that we discovered. There was a county commissioner in northeast Washington who'd been trying to get disaster or any type of situation report about the fires, and of course their county faced the risk of fire as well. He had been trying for 2 weeks to get some type of information. Remember, only certain people are in the food chain for who gets information, who gets to take advantage of information that's coming from this communications network that FEMA is in charge of. He walks in, and there's an AMRON situation report that was delivered by the Washington State Patrol sitting on his desk. Now, how they got it, I have no idea. We have no idea. But the state patrol thought the county commissioners probably need to be up to speed on this. So they delivered it. And he's like, it's from AMRON. But the Ares Races groups, I can't get anything from. In fact, the Ares Races guys were grumbling and mumbling on their little forums and stuff about those AMRON guys self-deploying. Who do they think they are? Because Ares has a very strict policy. Do not self-deploy. You must be invited. You have to go through an authorization process where you get a hold of the state. The state rep jumps through all the hoops, and then they send this formal request for your area guys to go and provide communication support. Now, look, I have no problems with that. I understand that they've got, you know, lots of moving parts. You got to have some type of order and things like that. But sometimes you just got to get the mission done, too. So they hated it. They hated that we were so arrogant as to self-deploy and, you know, just wander into an area causing more problems than we could possibly solve, which is a bizarre way of thinking. And there was another gal who worked for the Forest Service that said to an AMRON operator an AMRON operator's sister works for the Forest Service and says, this is really cool. They were talking about it at work. It's like this, they got this, like this, something about time cards stuff at the Forest Service office from this AMRON radio operator guys. So it kind of came back around that way too. And these are some great testimonies where we got the mission done. We were sending phone texts. I could send a text to any one of your phone numbers if you gave me your phone number. Go over to the radio, completely off-grid, by the way. We're off-grid over there. We're not connected to anything except solar panels. And I could send you a text on your cell phone sent over ham radio. So radio communications is not just about, hey, can you hear me now, right? They just come through when other things won't. Now, I totally got derailed because I'm trying to stick to a lesson plan, and it's like slides, and then those went sideways on me. There's digital communications. And could I get a time hack from you, please? 20 minutes. Okay. So, license, yes. Resources, several resources I want to point you guys to. First of all, we have these docudramas that Dave from AMP3 helped us produce. They're called Comms Up. Grid Down Communications. It talks about AMRON, it talks about communications, because I can't go into all of that right now. It's just simply not enough time. But what I do want to do is point you to where you can learn more, to learn the difference between long range, short range, HF, VHF, digital communications, sending text over the radio, chatting over the air using text, sending emails to each other over radio. Okay, there is a communications plan that's called the Signals Operating Instructions. That's how you know what frequency to tune to, when, what to listen for. It's a guide that helps you with that in an emergency situation. I'm going to get beamed in the head by that bird. And you don't have to be a licensed ham operator to be able to tune in and at least listen, because it lets you know what frequency to tune into, and to what mode to use. There's people, matter of fact, we've got a training exercise coming up right on the heels of Cascadia Rising called T-Rex, or Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise of 2016. We specifically set it up so that it would come in on the last day of the government's Cascadia Rising exercise, because AMRON operators are going to be monitoring and listening for this earthquake disaster news and things that they're sending out, and then we're going to turn around and send that out as situation reports to help support the scenario for the Teotihuacan readiness exercise, which is a nationwide exercise where people are going to be flipping the light switch off, they're going to be cutting the water off, they're going to be practicing their preps, they're going to be cooking on their stove, they're going to be actually putting their stuff to the test. So you can go ahead and check that out. And we're also going to be, in case you guys don't know it, there's also the New Madrid fault line, which is another one that they say, when it goes, it's going to go bang big, just like the CSZ. So in this scenario, it's like one triggers the other. Because otherwise, it's all just West Coast, right? And we're going to leave all of our operators over on the East Coast out of the exercise. They don't get to, so we're going to include them by having two earthquakes at once. We're going to one-up FEMA in our exercise. How's that sound? Go away.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Segment 4 brought to you by Werkz.com, W-E-R-K-Z.com, custom-made Kydex holsters made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee. Don't forget to use the coupon code RFR and go to Werkz.com to learn more.
Okay, something very important that I wanted to ram down your throats. While we're waiting for this big collapse to happen, we are communicating regularly, daily, in an environment that poses very much a threat to us and our security. Our world's changing. Okay, now we do face very legitimate threats from hacking, there's fraud, there's identity theft, and then there's government spying, which is unlawful as well. They just authorized themselves to do it. But the identity theft authorized himself to do it too, didn't he? So just because the government's doing it doesn't make it right. It's still unlawful. And besides that, we have some American principles, you know, privacy, liberty, things like that, that we want to protect. So I want to talk about how you guys can do that. Edward Snowden revealed so many things. He blew the lid off, or actually what I should say is he affirmed what so many suspected for so many years. He took all of the guessing out of it. It's true. There is a book actually called No Place to Hide, and by the time you're done with it, you will feel like throwing your hands in the air and saying, we're hosed. There's nothing you can do. Not true. Actually, if you slip into that, they won. There are things you can do, and there's things that many people are doing, and they are furious about it. So, let's talk about anonymity and security. Not the same thing. I can send an encrypted text to Mrs. Schmidt on our cell phones. That's secure. It's encrypted, but it's not anonymous. They can look at the metadata and they can see, oh, John Jacob Schmidt just sent Mrs. Schmidt a text. There it is, right? Only my metadata doesn't say John Jacob Schmidt. So there's a guide that I wrote up because people are saying, well, it's just, okay, I want to get my stuff in order. I want to use encrypted email. I want to keep my files encrypted. I want to surf the web anonymously because I don't want the government tracking me going to Radio Free Redoubt all the time, things like that, right? So there are ways to do that. And I do want to point out that there are some areas that are very weak links in our security that we have to address. that down and dirty guide that's posted on the internet. Actually, we just produced a thumb drive that's titled The Underground Project, based on a series that I just finished up doing called Going Underground. What would happen if you have a pastor who the Chinese invade, they make home churches illegal, and now they got a warrant for him and they're pursuing him. They want to take him down. What would we do if he chose to go underground? So I went through step-by-step guide on how to go about doing that. It includes a lot of the stuff, the encryption, anonymity, where you cannot let your message be disclosed, what's contained in that, right? If you're in that kind of a situation, how would you go about doing it? And then, of course, it led into other things like, this is stuff we should be doing all the time anyway. Because we're handing them metadata that helps them. Look, they're already building a list of people that they deem are threats. And so we're helping them build human terrain mapping and connecting dots for all of our connections and who we interact with and things like that. So we need to start addressing this. And we should have started doing this a decade ago. But there's ways that we can go back and we can clean this up. So first of all, I want you to address the highest threat areas. The weakest link in your security are passwords, first of all. Then it's your Wi-Fi, and then your internet activity, which is out there in the open for anybody who's inclined to find out what your internet activity is. Now they're building algorithms now to determine what level of a threat you might be based on your internet activity. And who are they've already identified as threats? The right-wing extremists, constitutionalists, homeschoolers, right? These are what they said are the biggest threat, more than ISIS. So why hand them things on a silver platter? Safe storage of documentation. I covered in this series. They hit you. Another patriot was just arrested who's been covering alternative news, covering the stuff in Oregon. His name's Mike Emery. They just rolled him up on a firearms-related charge. But what'd they take? His computer, his thumb drives, his smartphone, his everything, a digital and electronic, of course, for the investigation. Why did they need that? Because they're connecting dots. Everyone he's associated with, all of the correspondence he's had with them. I have a personal friend who's sitting in prison right now because he went to Bundy Ranch. Now, there's texts with him saying, hey, you want to go do some training this weekend? All right, right out in the open, unencrypted, want to do some training. I was hoping you'd be able to do some communications training with us to help us out there. Well, one of the charges that they had, one of the explanations that they told him for his being arrested was that he's been conspiring for tactical operations against government agents. So they're great. There's a text with him saying, hey, you want to be part of my planning and training to, right? So when you are communicating, it might not be about you. I don't care if I get arrested. I'm ready to go down. I will sacrifice myself to go to prison. Well, you're sacrificing everybody else around you if you're not secure. Because when they get their hands on this stuff, everyone that they've associated with and affiliated with, and that's why you get one person arrested, next thing you know, there's 10 other people that just got their door kicked in. Even if they didn't do anything wrong, it's part of the investigation. Because you said something that could be construed as conspiring, right? So we want as much of our stuff. Once it's electronic and digital and downrange, you can't get it back. The light bulb can't come on for you one day down the road like it did for the Jews in France or in Poland who finally decided, wow, I think maybe we should start thinking about more security more after it's too late. So there are several programs that I'm not going to have time to get into, but your passwords are your weak link. The intelligence forensics specialist will tell you the encryption is so powerful today, we don't even mess with it. It takes so much power to attack that they don't even mess with it. They go right after the passwords. Why? Because you guys have lazy passwords, simple passwords, You're using your kid's birthday. You're using your parents' anniversary date, your anniversary date, your address. You're using the same or the really awesome password that you come up with, but you use it for everything. There's no way you could possibly remember all of the passwords for all of the things that you're involved in to have a different password for every one of those, right? There are programs out there. One I recommend and I use is called KeePass. It will help you generate and store encrypted passwords. You remember and commit to memory one really awesome password. Write it down and put it on the other side of town inside of a little rock or something somewhere where you could go and get it if you had to. But otherwise, you remember this one password. And then you've got 20 passwords for all of your... Most people, if they get your password, I can tell you right now, almost everybody in this room, if I can figure out your password to your email, I probably have your password to your banking, to PayPal, to Facebook. I could destroy you because of your laziness. Or the hacker can and will. It happens all the time. Now we've got a government that is committing resources to infiltrating your systems. So something to think about. This right here puts an end to that. Wi-Fi is the next weak link in your security. Because I know we have a password protected Wi-Fi. It's kind of fun. It's called war driving, going around and find out, you know, what internet connections you can connect to. It's kind of surprising. But a lot of these guys, or all of us, almost all of us, have a password on our Wi-Fi. But that's like child's play to somebody who does this. I mean, as a hobby, that's nothing for them. Right? They can snatch up your data from your computer to the Wi-Fi. So I strongly recommend using a VPN. It's a virtual private network. It is an encrypted tunnel from your computer to your router to a VPN server. And the one that I use and recommend is NordVPN. There are several. Some are free. This one's about $34 a year and $36 a year. You get what you pay for. I know it costs, but this is the day that we're living in. It's the age that we're living in. Gasoline costs, right? Internet costs. Pandora costs. Netflix costs, all right? VPNs cost. Suck it up. Because this is the weak link in all of our communications. This will, and then it will change your IP address so you can go on about your business encrypted. Now, there's a new, and I just mentioned this morning in a meeting with the Ameron Corps, there are free and some paid, very inexpensive and wonderful encrypted email programs. How many people here use an email, encrypted email program like Proton Mail, Hush Mail, Unseen, or Start Mail, things like that? Okay, quite a few of you guys. You have to understand that you are not encrypted until you hit their server. So if you think you and your buddy can now talk about all the guns and stuff that you're going to be stockpiling and all the ammo that's going to go with it and where you're burying it, because now you're encrypted, right? It didn't encrypt until that information hit Proton Mail server. And then it stays there encrypted until your buddy it connects to Proton Mail and then puts in his password, it decrypts it, and now that information just got streamed to your computer in wherever. It's not encrypted if you don't have a VPN. It was like, what's the point? The only good thing is the laws, the privacy laws overseas are extremely powerful and out of the reach of our government intelligence services, and they hate it. But if they can really make a case and prove that they're beyond a reasonable doubt, you're probably involved in terrorism, then they will allow them to get a hold of that data, but then it's still encrypted. They can't decrypt it. So what you need to do is get what's called end-to-end encryption. Write this down, PGP. This is in that Down and Dirty Guide. It's a posting now on Radio Free Readout for end-to-end encryption. It's called PGP encryption. That encrypts it at your computer. It doesn't leave your computer until it's encrypted. The guy on the other end that you exchange keys with, it stays encrypted until he puts in the password and it decrypts right there on the computer. So if you're using a VPN, you're double encrypted or triple encrypted because NordVPN double encrypts it and changes your IP address. Once again, disassociating you from your buddy who's coordinating firearms and ammunition and where you're going to bury it. Okay, now you just also cut that tie between you and that person. Plus, what you said is encrypted. And now you did it end to end. And it's stored on your computer so you can retrieve it later, but it's also password protected. As soon as you close out of the program, it's encrypted again until you decrypt it again. So if your computer in a raid, the door gets kicked in and they confiscate your computer, they got encrypted emails. Is that making sense? Okay. Safe storage. There's free software called Veracrypt. It used to be TrueCrypt. Another organization came along, almost identical program. It's called Veracrypt for keeping your data encrypted and safely stored on your computer. Sensitive information you don't want anyone else to know unless you choose to let them know. A lot of people are in jail right now because of incriminating information that was found on someone else's computer. Your security is only as strong as the weakest person in your chain. And security is everyone's responsibility. Everyone you associate with, and you should insist on it. There's three email programs, Unseen, Start Mail, and Proton Mail. And those are in that those are in that guide. It's on Amron.com. We've talked about this before. You can write those down if you want. And some of those are paid. Some of those offer a free and a paid. But definitely an offshore stored email server. Strongly recommend it. Roger that. Okay. I jumped ahead. We actually already talked about PGP encryption. And this is Thunderbird email client, much like Outlook, you know, you guys use Outlook or some other type of mail program. Thunderbird is one that is made by Mozilla, which they also make Firefox. It's a great program, great outfit, and that works with that PGP encryption. Finally, I want to remind you that YouTube is your friend, because I just threw a whole bunch of stuff out at you guys. And you're like, I don't know how to set up PGP encryption. What's he talking about? Everything I just mentioned, or take any one of those things on that Down and Dirty Guide on encryption and security with the names of the programs. I'm also updating that to include YouTube tutorials on how to set each of those up. But it can seem overwhelming. I don't want you to feel overwhelmed. I want you to know that there's a lot there that you need to do and that you can do it by eating the elephant one bite at a time. This week, just focus on getting a VPN. I don't have $38 lying around. Okay, fine. What's the other thing on the list? Veracrypt. Okay? Get some type of free encrypted email. There are several things that you could, the key pass. Start changing your passwords. Start generating very powerful passwords. Get that set up and start using it. Because you're very vulnerable right now and don't even know it. So communications. Before the grid goes down is just as important, if not more so, than living dangerously like this and then prepping like you can talk to anybody in the world when the grid goes down makes no sense. We have to communicate effectively when the grid's up, and we have to communicate when the grid goes down. So it makes no difference to us, if that makes sense. Roger that? Yes, ma'am. Opera, O-P-E-R-A, Opera. They are offering free VPNs. There are free VPNs out there. If you don't have $38 laying around, find a free VPN, get something, don't have nothing, and then later upgrade to, you know, one of these others. So great point. Thank you very much, Sarah. Any other questions before we break? Okay, thank you guys for your, oh, yes, sir.
Just real quick, you mentioned the Underground Guide, and it was a great series, by the way.
Thank you. It is, but we sold out of it. We have thumb drives that we brought with us where we put all 10 audio files from the Going Underground series and a guide, a PDF guide on informants, agents, agents provocateur, saboteurs and troublemakers. All right, that's in a PDF. That's on there also. Those are going to be available on the website, but we had them on thumb drive, and they sold out. So we're going to have more information on that. Keep checking the Radio Free Readout for that. All right, guys, see you in about 25 minutes. God bless. Go get your comms up.